This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The disaster in Japan could cost the country more than $300 billion.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Japan's government said today the earthquake and tsunami there could cost more than twice as much as Hurricane Katrina, and that's made American aid all the more important. We continue our coverage now of the human and economic toll of the tragedy in Japan with our Asia Bureau Chief, Rob Schmitz, who joins us now from Tokyo. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Jeremy.
So how much is the United States doing to help Japan?
Well, this has been one of the U.S. military's largest relief efforts in years. I mean, you've got 20 U.S. Navy ships off Japan's northern coast right now, including one of our aircraft carriers. And the Navy's managed to deliver 200,000 pounds of crucial supplies like food and water to victims of the tsunami. The estimated cost of the entire cleanup of these areas is now at more than $200 billion. But I think a lot of Japanese are paying attention to the U.S. efforts. Here's an example. Today, I was interviewing a factory manager in Tokyo about the impact of this crisis on his business. And in the middle of the interview, he started to cry. And while he was crying, he bowed to me, and it was one of those prolonged bows. I mean, because I'm American, he was thanking me for all the help the United States is extending to Japan in the relief effort.
So very grateful for the help, Rob. Are people getting everything that they need?
Well, while I was in Sendai last week, I saw the evacuation centers were really lacking food. And I should add that the U.S. military presence has always been controversial in Japan. But here, the U.S. stepped in when Japan's own government had problems doing so. People have noticed that, and it's a good bet public opinion toward the U.S. presence here may change as a result.
Marketplace's Rob Schmitz in Tokyo. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Well, oil is back up around $105 a barrel in overseas trading today. I say dollars because that's the currency that's used to buy and sell oil around the world, at least for now. We continue our Economy 4.0 series on the new global economy now with this report from special correspondent David Brancaccio.
The dollar at numero uno for the last 70 years or so brings special benefits our way. Foreigners like to save in dollars, demand that keeps our interest rates down. Converting currency is expensive, and American companies have the advantage of not switching if an international deal is done in dollars. But that's changing.
At the end of last year, there were 70,000 Chinese companies that were doing their cross-border trade using China's own currency, which meant that the foreign company on the other side of the deal was accepting Chinese currency in payment.
Barry Eichengreen, an economist at UC Berkeley, has a new book about the dollar called Exorbitant Privilege. That's the phrase coined years ago by a French official annoyed by the dollar advantage. But the current rise in deals done in Chinese renminbi is just one sign its star is rising quickly.
So you may have heard that the Bank of China started offering Chinese currency deposits to Americans.
Well, there it is on Madison Avenue, the Bank of China USA. All I need is a couple of forms of ID, a social security card, and at least $500, and I can become an international currency speculator.
If you want to take a bet that the Chinese currency is going to gain value relative to the dollar over time, you can do that now.
And deposits in the new Bank of China New York account are FDIC insured. U.S.-based Everbank also has a renminbi account, but with a minimum deposit of $10,000. Everbank's Chuck Butler.
The Chinese said, okay, we're going to start allowing the currency to appreciate again, and it's moved since last June about 4% higher.
The accounts don't pay interest, so they only make money if the renminbi is ascendant. But Eichengreen does not believe the dollar is washed up. History shows the world can live with several of these coveted reserve currencies. His prediction, by 2020, the euro, the renminbi, and the dollar could all share the top spot. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio for Marketplace.
And there's more at the Economy 4.0 blog at marketplace.org. And let's do the numbers. Global stocks are mixed in over this morning. The Egyptian stock exchange, rather, dropped 10% within moments of its first open since the Egypt uprising began in January. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gave back 17 points to close at 12,018.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. By Progressive Insurance, with Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on mileage and safe driving habits. Learn more at Progressive.com. And by Mini, with 37 miles per gallon and 3 years or 36,000 miles of boot-to-bonnet maintenance. MiniUSA.com/info.
1 week is all it took for a Canadian hacker to figure out and publish a way to avoid paying for the New York Times online. The Times has started charging frequent web users. Marketplace's Gregory Warner reports now on whether Times readers are really ready to pay up.
If you know how to install an extension on your internet browser, if those words even make sense to you, then you're nerdy enough to hack into the New York Times paywall and read articles online for free.
It's less about how nerdy a user is and more about how exposed he or she is to the work of other nerds.
This is Josh Benton, director of the Nieman Journalism Lab at Harvard. So what's the New York Times banking on, that its readers are just not smart enough or too underinformed? That's not...
Not very Timesian.
No.
And I think... The number of people who are going to decide, I want to create some sort of hack in my browser, can be pretty small. It's not going to be zero, but I think most people will make a decision to either pay up or just go to another website.
Because, and this is the guilt trip model that you, public radio listener, know well, people like to get their news for free, but they can sometimes be shamed into paying for it.
Shame or, you know, paying money for services because they value the content that the Times produces.
Could be the slogan for a New York Times pledge drive. I'm Gregory Warner, bringing you this story at no extra charge on Marketplace.
And finally, to Beverly Hills, there was a press conference yesterday to oppose the construction of a new 42,000-square-foot mega mansion there. Well, actually, if you include the villa, guest house, and staff quarters, it's 85,000 square feet and would dwarf L.A.'s famous Griffith Observatory. Though someone associated with the project told the L.A. Times, it's just a normal Mediterranean-style house. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
All right, so here's an idea. What if we made toxic chemicals non-toxic from the start so we don't have to deal with their after effects later on?
And I said, rather than looking at how we design molecules that can treat or hopefully cure cancer, I want to try and come up with a way that all of the chemicals that we're surrounded by can't cause cancer and can't cause other kinds of toxicity.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the EPA's new green campaign, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.